it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Because defenses are playing nickel personnel to 12. That's the main reason. So if you want to do that, then you got to run the football effectively, and that opens up some of the passing game.
Aaron Rodgers asked about the big package that the Steelers used against the Minnesota Vikings. Spencer Anderson rubbing his nipples, indicating that he is an eligible receiver. You get Darnell Washington out there. Steelers 6-0 when Darnell Washington has played more than 40 snaps in a football game. Chicken, egg, who knows, but they are undefeated, played a ton. And Aaron Rodgers says, look, if teams are going to line up in the nickel against our tight end sets, then we're going to run it right at you. And, gentlemen, the Cleveland Browns, they like to play as much nickel as any team in the National Football League. I think that's a big old hint from one Aaron Rodgers. I think that heavy package, that big set that they used, I think it's here to stay at least for one more week. And where can they branch off of that? And do you think that's something that they can continue to be successful with?
I think they could continue to be successful with it. Moving forward in the next 2 weeks, or actually the next two games, I should say, because of the Thursday night game in that week. And you know that you had success, but can you get that success early in the run game with that package? But I think that they can be successful out of that. Now you're going to see Jaylen Warren, how he's effective in it. You saw it with Kenneth Gainwell. He was clearly effective with 99 yards rushing on the day in Ireland. But I want to see Jaylen Warren, how he's effective in it. I want to see both those guys, how they're effective in it. And if it keeps working, I think you roll that into Cincinnati on Thursday, because that is a short week, and you just, you know, you kind of just want to go into that game and get out of that game with a win. Whatever way it looks, I think that you want to go to Cincinnati and just get out of there with a win.
So he said they play nickel to 12 personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Spencer Anderson being it is not 12 personnel. Like that.
No.
That would be, if you're playing nickel to that, then you should run it. You should keep playing it.
If you're playing nickel to that, the defensive coordinator should be fired.
Exactly. I think it's an interesting cat and mouse game, because we talked about this. Depending on who you have, either Jonnu or Pat being kind of their move tight ends, Darnell being their effectively best blocker, so kind of a hybrid. 12 personnel could be 11 personnel with Jonnu Smith. So if they don't play nickel to it, you've got a favorable matchup. Linebacker on Jonnu Smith. If they do, you can run the football. I think where the rub is how they protect. And I think the extra tackle, Darnell's increased participation, is as much about protection and helping those tackles as it is matchup and how a defense is deployed. I really do. I think in their heart of hearts, they don't want to have Broderick Jones in more than a handful of one-on-ones with Myles Garrett.
Absolutely not.
On Sunday. If they do, then they should seriously look at what they're doing. Because that's the recipe for a disaster. And any team, quite frankly, I don't care who you have. But particularly when your left tackle is perhaps your weakest offensive lineman, and he's going to be playing against perhaps the best 4-3 rush D end in football.
And I think he's playing his best ball of his career, too.
Yeah. I mean, you behoove you to have another to extend the edge out there and put someone outside of him that can at least influence him. But if you could run the ball out of it, too, you can do a lot of things out of that personnel grouping. Obviously, you just lose an eligible.
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
I think without Calvin Austin, too, I mean, do you want to see more Ben Skowronek? Do you want to see more Scotty Miller? Maybe you do want to see Roman Wilson, or do you want to try to get your tight ends involved in a way that they haven't been involved yet?
But just think of the stuff you can do out of it, right? You line up in a wing set with a fullback-ish or a double wing and an extra tight end, and you blast to empty. And they go to a five-down lineman look and two linebackers or three linebackers and three DBs, and you've got Jonnu Smith in the slot on a walkout Mike linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
you run option routes or stick routes or, you know, different combinations to get guys in space, or you get Jaylen Warren out of the backfield on a stiff linebacker in an empty set. You just, you're 5-0 protection, right? So you dictate what the defense does from a personnel standpoint and also limit perhaps the depth of what they have in that package. Not many teams are, you see it in college football all the time, right? You go extra lineman or heavy personnel, you throw a fifth D lineman in there, but they're not expecting you to blast to empty and spread them out. Then what are their checks? What are their adjustments? You really stress them in that way. And that's where I think the Steelers can take another step with, yeah, with is add some layers to what they do and just make teams prepare for it.
Mm-hmm.
You put stuff on tape at this point in the year, even if it's not necessarily effective all the time, just having it on tape is a strategic play.
I want them to throw the ball to Darnell Moore too.
Dude, he's a player, man.
He's a player, and it's painfully obvious. And it worked against the Vikings, so maybe I should change my verbiage there. But he's out there, you're going to run the damn football. And he has 3 catches on the year. He also caught the 2-point conversion, so 4. You need more. He's only been targeted 4 times, and 5 of you include the 2-point conversion. Jonnu Smith, 14 catches for 71 yards.
Crazy.
You need to be able to branch off.
Freiermuth have?
Freiermuth, cover your eyes. 7 catches on 10 targets for 65 yards.
Is he their third best tight end?
Yes.
Doran?
Yes.
He seems to me to be a redundancy of Jonnu Smith. Neither one of them are good blockers. I think he's a better blocker than Jonnu, but he's not as dynamic. No.
You're not going to throw him screens.
You got to figure this out. And we've been talking about it forever. You need another wide receiver, too. I'd like to see them figure out the tight end game first.
How many snaps does Connor Hayward have?
He has 1 catch on the year. I'll have to look for the snap count. But he got the tush-push.
I feel like that they used him just as much as they used Pat. Again, but I'm probably wrong. It's probably less, but I feel like that he's right in the realm there.
I mean, he only has 6 fewer catches than Pat Freiermuth.
Right.
And if you would have framed it that way before the season, 4 games in, Connor Hayward's got 6 fewer catches than Freiermuth. People are thinking, oh boy, Connor Hayward's had a pretty nice year. They got to figure that out. I'm not panicking on it yet because you got to do what works, and they found success running it with Darnell Washington out there. But if you're going to go, like we talked about, from 17th in the NFL in scoring to closer to top 10 to really consider yourself a true contending team and a good offense, I think Pat Freiermuth's going to have something to say about it, because you might not be able to get a wide receiver. And that guy like Mike Williams last year might not be able to get on a moving train even if you acquire one. Freiermuth's here. He knows the offense. I also think he's a little bit in the doghouse. I said this yesterday. Blew the protection on the block kick in Dublin. He and Rodgers had a miscommunication on a third down on a scramble drill. You also had one where he was open in the middle of the field.
Oh, okay.
I'll get to that one, too. Mm-hmm. He had one where he was splitting the safeties on a free play, and Rodgers wanted him to flatten it out, right, and he didn't, and he kind of put his arms up. And then he had the drop, like you're saying, on the rollout from Rodgers, which was probably his most impressive throw of the year. People are asking where Freiermuth is, and I've asked it, but a lot of it has to do with Pat, too. And Pat's got a great head on his shoulders. He's a good dude. I think he's a team leader. I think he's handling this well. But I do think half the responsibility, at least, is on him for not making plays in situations where he could have made plays.
Man, it's just an interesting situation looking at that position from a contract standpoint. You know, next year, Darnell Washington's in a contract year. They signed Jonnu Smith 2 years, $16 million. Freiermuth's cap hit is an average of about $12.5 million the next 3 seasons. I mean, you're going to be in a position next year where you're thinking, like, who are we keeping? And I know we're getting ahead of the game here, but Jonnu, Darnell, I mean, is Jonnu a rental? Perhaps. He's getting later in his career, right?
Arthur Smith loves his guys, too, and Jonnu Smith was his guy before.
I mean, Pat's getting paid like the number one tight end, and he's playing effective like the third or fourth in terms of snaps and production. Something's got to give there.
Mm-hmm.
He's got to start stepping up for them, making plays when the ball comes his way, because the other thing, too, is he's got a new quarterback back there, and he doesn't care. If you're not going to catch it, he's not going to throw it to you. He's not going to force feed someone just because people like him here. He's trying to throw the ball. Guys are going to catch it and make plays, and they're going to be in the right spot. And if you're getting disagreements, throwing your arms up, I mean, they got to figure that out. And hopefully the open week is giving them an opportunity to work on tight end inclusion. And I don't love hearing your number one tight end can't play against 4-3 teams.
Right.
I mean, that makes no sense to me.
Mm-hmm. You're paying, yep.
And I think
it tells me two things. A, you don't trust them to block in the run game. And two, you really don't trust your tackles. So you want to have extra tackles and tight ends that can really block in there that can help out your tackles. Two things that we knew were the case.
And just as important, and I brought it up, I'll underscore it again. Like, we could talk about Pat Freiermuth not catching the ball enough. I need to see Darnell catch it more, too. And it's not only because
he's caught it when it comes his way.
He has, but like, I bet him anytime touchdown every week. So make it happen.
Well, I think that's just it's going to happen eventually, especially in a red zone.
The more he's out there, the more it's going to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But, and here's the other thing. Look, I've been elated with Aaron Rodgers' play and elated with the red zone and elated with the fast starts. They need to grow up as a passing game, though, still, too. I mean, across the board, we're talking about, oh, Pat Freiermuth, 7 catches. DK Metcalf only got 15. Jaylen Warren's their second leading receiver with 11. Calvin Austin with 10, and he ain't playing. Jonnu Smith with 14. Kenneth Gainwell with 13, so I did bad math before. Freiermuth with 7. Ain't nobody got more than 15 catches.
How many catches does DK Metcalf have over 15 yards? Like, in the air over 15 yards, not, like, obviously running after catch.
I can answer it this way because I don't have that answer for you, but he has 261 yards. He has 189 yards after the catch. So he has fewer than 100 yards pre-catch, which is great. It's working right now. You have not seen this offense attack enough down the field. And I don't even put that on the coordinator. I don't put that on the quarterback. I don't put that on the playmakers. I put that on the fear of dropping Rodgers back.
Yep, the offensive line protection.
Yes,
sure.
Yes.
Heard that one.
Yep.
I mean,
are you feeling yourself a little bit Bostic because you said Broderick Jones worried about
him? It's just the vacillation week to week. Like, oh, they played good this week. They are schematically putting them in the best position possible not to be the reason the Steelers lose. That is what they're doing with this offensive line. And it's coming at the expense of some of their better playmakers.
Yes.
The tight ends.
Arguably, it's coming at the expense of every single playmaker.
Because your two backs right now, if you had to say who have been our most dependable pass catchers, you would list Jaylen Warren and Kenneth Gainwell above Pat Freiermuth and Darnell Washington.
And Smith.
And Jonnu, yeah.
Jonnu's probably right there with them right now in terms of volume. 14 catches, double-digit catches, right?
14 for 71!
Right.
As a tight end.
But Jaylen Warren has a splash play on a screen. Kenneth Gainwell's caught the ball on critical third downs. DK can take it the distance. Calvin Austin has flashed in games when he's available. But they have to do so much, and it speaks to where they're at. And this is my concern about whether they're real or not, or a contender, is if you have to start your game plan with how do we not get sacked and take negative plays, how we have to help them habitually. You're going to limit the number of guys you release into the route. You're going to limit 7-step or deep play action throws where you throw the ball really down the field. I mean, even the 80-yarder was a slant.
Right.
And then it's going to increase throwaways. It's going to increase checkdowns. And you're going to have to be an offense that strings it together. So you better not get penalized. You better complete it. And you better run the football effectively, which you're starting to do better. That's the hope. Because if they can run the ball, that is the ultimate antidote for all of their problems, is consistent rushing attack. That slows the pass rush down, gets them in favorable stick situations where they can be aggressive. When they're in obvious D&Ds, they're either getting the ball out quick or they're max protect, helping out.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least chipping getting out, in which case Jonnu and Pat can't be down the field targets.
One last statistic on this. Aaron Rodgers, 60th. I didn't know that many guys had thrown passes. 60th in average depth of target this year. 5 yards average depth of target that he's attacking. You got to grow up. I also just got a text that just made the end of my month. My daughter turns 6 on October 23rd. We're going to Benihana, baby.
Nice.
Oh, you love the Benihana.
Yeah.
Never been there.
Really? You like hibachi?
I do.
All right. Here's what we're going to do. Next ratings book when we're going to be celebrating. I feel it in my bones. You, me, Bostic, Harry, we're all going out to Benihana.
I'm in.
on Craig Riley's dime. That's how that's going to go.
Yeah.
I love it.
Get a little onion volcano. He doesn't know about the onion volcano.
I've been to hibachis before.
They will shoot sake in your mouth with a little squirt gun, Pat.
Mm.
Come on now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you'll smell like hibachi for 15 days afterward, but it's worth it. Yes, Harry, you ever been to hibachi?
I thought we were talking about Benihana.
Same thing.
Yes.
Is Benihana a chain?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just, I didn't know that.
There's one right down the street from my house where that guy got carjacked on that road that one time a couple months
ago.
Was
he in a van?
The guy that got carjacked?
That's the Benihana we're going to go to.
Yes.
We'll risk life and limb for that onion volcano.
I think there's only one.
Yeah.
Well, I went in my parents' minivan when I was younger, so if we're talking about vans,
yes. Up on top of the hill there, right?
Sure is.
Yep.
Yeah. off Green Tree Road?
Yes.
Like right down the hill from my house.
Off of not in Green Tree Road, yes.
It's Scott Township, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it near the Green Tree Pool?
No. It's not
even
in Green Tree.
Though the pool's gotten bigger.
Well,
is it near the Green Tree Pool?
The pool didn't get bigger, it got smaller. That's what we were fighting for.
Okay, let's not go there.
Well, you went there. You're the only one that said that.
Kallus, what's your problem today?
What do you mean, what's my problem? What's
coming
your problem?
Coming up next.
It's a bit.
We are witnessing one of the greatest crash outs in the history of North American sports. Jeff Hathorne at the bottom of the hour. You can give us a ring on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Access brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. I was telling a gruesome family story during the break, and then Pat Bostick hijacked it, and you guys did Dumb and Dumber quotes for 5 minutes.
Yep.
I mean, 5 straight minutes.
My buddies and I growing up used to be able to recite the entire movie. We could go from start to finish and do every line.
I thought Crowley was dumber.
If I close my eyes and I'm on like an airplane or something, I can probably, from start to finish, watch The Departed in my head without needing to actually be watching it.
Yeah.
That would be that movie for me.
Mm-hmm.
But you're saying Dumb and Dumber is that for you?
Well, just as a youth,
mm-hmm.
It was the funniest movie. So
that might be my number one comedy of all time.
Man, that's hard. There's
Dumb
so many
and Dumber?
Good ones.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
It's up there.
What would you say then?
My
you furrowed
one?
Your brow in disgust.
Furrowed?
He did.
I don't know.
You just wanted to disagree.
House Party.
Never saw that.
I believe that you haven't. Yes, I can believe that.
Have you seen House Party?
I never heard of it.
Oh, man. You never remember the racer head?
Yeah.
The guy that started that kid in play?
No clue what you're talking about. So I would go either Dumb and Dumber. Step Brothers is hilarious. Step Brothers is really good. Growing on Me over time.
Oh, let's hear it. Here comes a take.
I mean, The Hangover was great. The OG.
Yes. Super Bad.
Yeah.
First half of that movie was uproariously funny. I thought it kind of went downhill from there.
I mean.
But still really funny.
God. So many good ones.
In the meantime, this is also funny. Report out there from Ollie Connolly, college football writer. Bill Belichick is discussing buyout options with UNC. He has even showed a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a spot with another team or in the media. Wow. First of all, Steelers, hire Bill Belichick as a defensive consultant. Pay him whatever it takes. Or he'll wind up on Fox or something. Sit next to Urban Meyer. This is one of the great crash outs that we've ever seen in North American sports history. It's also one of the worst coaching jobs that we've ever seen because of his credentials. And so we were thinking, kicking it around before the show, the worst coaching jobs of all time. And if I start things off and I have a hand, if I have two pair of Hugh Jackson in Cleveland, can we top that?
Urban Meyer in Jacksonville.
He went 2-11 and he got fired because he kicked his kicker. You might have beat me.
Nathaniel Hackett.
Another great one. Man. He was horrendous in Denver.
This is...
Mike Haywood.
But didn't really. He didn't really coach a game.
He was there.
He didn't coach a game. I mean...
Does he count as a Pitt head coach?
Yes. He went to the podium.
Like, if I look it up on Wikipedia, will he be listed as a guy?
Can we not go back there, please? I mean, Majors, too, at Pitt was pretty bad.
Yeah. We're off to a great start with Rod, too, in Morgantown.
This is... So, they issued statements this morning or last night, North Carolina. Belichick and Bubba Cunningham saying, you know, fake news, whatever. We're all in. I was listening to another show during the week, college football show. There are reports of, like, players they recruited in the portal getting, like, sideline passes for their family, preferential parking, like, things that are just egregiously not... And now there's a report of them being, you know, investigated by the NCAA for impermissible benefits.
Yeah. I mean, that's tough to do in 2025.
It is, but, like, you can't, like, field access and, you know, promising those types of things, like, to my knowledge, that's not part of the compensation model that has been approved by the House settlement. Like, this is a train wreck down there. They're averaging 269 yards a game on offense.
Oh.
269.
They scored in the first drive of the season.
That was it.
Hot knife through butter.
That was it.
I mean, they are an abject failure in almost every measurable way. And it's perhaps the greatest pro football coach, one of the most accomplished coaches in the history of the sport. Like, I said when we talked originally, like, this is either going to be really good or it's going to be really bad. It is really bad.
And it's weak sauce, too, because they've canceled the Hulu docuseries that they were going
to
do.
They've canceled two docuseries. They're supposed to have a Hard Knocks thing during training camp.
Yep.
That they kiboshed.
Could I just quickly bring Hugh Jackson back up for a second?
Absolutely.
Because the numbers are just... Oh. It is incredible.
What was it, 0-16?
He went 1-15 and 0-16 in back-to-back seasons.
That's bad.
1-31 in a two-year span. His tenure in Cleveland, he went 3-36-1. That's a .088 winning percentage. Like, how do you not luck into some wins? The NFL is designed for parity. My man won one game in 2 years and then jumped in a lake.
I tell you, man.
Hextall. Oh, that's not coaching.
That was bad.
That was bad.
That was real bad.
Cam Cameron with the Dolphins. 1-15.
He just got the 1 year?
I think he had more than one. But
Adam Gase, also very bad with the Dolphins.
Gosh.
Yes.
And he had the weirdest introductory press conference of all time.
He was bad with the Jets.
It was with the Jets.
Yeah.
And he was looking all around. People made that meme where he was just looking at the Taco Bell taco.
Cam Cameron got the job when Nick Saban resigned.
Nick Saban not great in the NFL.
Remember, Wonstead would always call Cam Sadler Cam Cameron?
Yeah. Shoot, we got Cam Cameron.
Gus Bradley with the Jaguars, 14-48.
Oh!
Wow.
Real quick on Saban, he could have had Breeze, opted for Dante Culpepper instead. Methinks he wouldn't have gone to Bama if he had Drew Breeze and Breeze had a great season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it's hard to be an NFL coach. I think it's infinitely harder to be a college coach. I think now it's infinitely harder than it was to be a college coach back then. If you got Drew Breeze, are you kidding me? Come on now. Whoops. Big mistake. Didn't think he was healthy.
I'm trying to think.
Matt Rhule, Carolina Panthers, not good.
That was bad. Chip Kelly, Eagles. Well, they actually did decent.
He had a couple of winning seasons, I think.
Well, man, here's one for you. How about Willie Taggart at Florida State? Charlie Weiss at Kansas, 6-22.
Oh, that might have been good for them at the time, though.
Greg Robinson, who we played against at Syracuse, was 5-37. 3-25 in Big East games.
Who's this cat they had at Virginia Tech this year? That guy stunk.
Brent Pry.
Pry.
I mean, how many times can you, Virginia Tech, lose to Old Dominion? Whoops. Wow.
This is a fascinating study.
We can pepper more in when we talk to Jeff.
Mike Singletary. Wasn't he pretty bad in San Francisco?
And then he mooned the team to make a point.
Charlie Strong at Texas.
Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Charlie Strong.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
Man.
Texters are writing in saying that we hadn't seen that movie because we're the whitest people alive. Is that what you were putting up?
As Pat goes.
But no, I'm talking. This is not to do with that. Paul Feinbaum. Bill Belichick is heading toward being the worst coach in college football history.
If I may, Feinbaum, get lost. He's right, but get lost.
You would kill to have his platform and success. The same people are saying that about McAfee that say about him.
Yeah, but that guy's a dweebo.
He's a dweeb, but he he runs the SEC. Coaches, like, care what he says.
Yeah. His ears appear inside out. That's the best way I can put it.
They're big ears, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, he must hear well.
Yeah.
I don't think ear size has anything to do with hearing.
Oh, it totally does.
No, it doesn't.
It sure does. It funnels the sound right into your ears. Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net.
Derek Shelton.
Wasn't great. You could probably just list every Pirates coach the last 30 years not named Clint Hurdle. And you could have a field day with that. Jeff Hathorn's going to join us next. Penguins in action tonight, their home opener. Are we going to see Arturs Shelovs?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports director Jeff Hathorn joining us now for the Hawk Report, Harry. Ah! The Hawk Report.
Ah!
Yeah, I was hoping for one more call.
I did it twice.
For us, it's like the Crow Report. That's much more of a crow than a hawk. A hawk is...
Doran doesn't like it.
Sounded like a baby lion.
Doran doesn't like it. I love Jeff Hathorn.
I love Jeff, too.
He's a good man.
Great man.
Hello, Jeff.
Hi, Peace. Jeff.
Wow. What's up, guys?
Jeff, we have many things to go over with you, but I want to start with the undefeated, on pace to go 82-0 Pittsburgh Penguins. Do you believe Arturs Shelovs will start tonight? And until Murashov comes up, do you think he's going to get the lion's share of the time between the pipes? He was impressive on Tuesday.
Man, he was. Yeah, he was impressive. And it wasn't anything spectacular. Like, you didn't have to go side to side or flash the glove. He was just solid. He was where he needed to be. And what do you know? He actually got help in front. I'm sure Jari's watching that. I was like, wait, what the hell is this responsible hockey that's going on in front of Shelovs? I want a piece of that. But yeah, I mean, I like the fact, two things I liked right from the start of the game, that he started the three legends and the two teenagers, and that he went with a goalie that he thought gave him the best chance to win. Not the one making the most money, not the one that you're trying to trade and drive up his value. They went with the one that they thought could win. Now it's up to this group and Muse and the coaching staff to keep them playing that way. Because if they think they figured it out after one win, how many times have we seen that under Sullivan, where they play responsible for a short period of time and then it's like, okay, we're back to fire wagon hockey and it just goes south miserably.
Jeff, you think Sunday against the Browns is the game where they try to get Pat Freiermuth the most involved this season?
I don't know if this is the one. There's going to be games. He's going to have his games. I don't know if this is the one. I mean, I think you're going to see a lot of 12 and 13, which is going to get him on the field. But I don't know. Here's what I don't think you will see. Seven-step drops where he's got time to go down the field and find Freiermuth in a developing route. I think you're going to see a lot of those quick passes that we've seen especially work so well. And, man, the timing. I mean, we've seen those quick passes before, but maybe they're a little bit behind. We haven't been able to see the yak take off like we've seen it this year because Aaron has been right on target.
Jeff, you are a dutiful broadcaster and good man. You also grew up rooting for the Buckeyes of Ohio State. And – have followed the Steelers and Pittsburgh sports for a very long time. Which gives you more joy? Penn State losing to UCLA or Bill Belichick in Carolina being a total dumpster fire?
Yeah. Belichick.
Agreed.
Yeah. I mean, what a disaster. I was thinking, I mean, think of he and Bill O'Brien combined to be the force in the NFL, and what happened to them on Saturday?
Wow, yeah.
Good point.
I mean, wow.
Wow.
And what's going on with Bill, like, listen, yeah, I root for it. I was going to say I don't want to see someone like that go down, like, but I do. I think he cheated the game. I think he was buoyed by his quarterback into a much better coach than he actually is, and now we're seeing it.
Jeff Athorn with us here on the Fan Morning Show. Doran asked if this was the Freiermuth game. You look at what he's done against the Bengals, maybe that'll be the game. Last year, 6 catches, 68 yards and a touchdown. In the first game, second game between the two, 8 catches, 85 yards and a touchdown. But I'll ask you the same question, but about Calvin Austin. Not about Calvin Austin, about Roman Wilson. With Calvin Austin being likely out of this game, are we finally going to see the second-year guy out of Michigan make an impact on offense?
I think it's going to go this way. He's going to get an early opportunity. What does he do with it? And I think that's going to determine going forward, because I think they want to play. They know what they're getting from Skowronek, especially from a blocking standpoint. They know if they put three tight ends, what they're kind of getting out there. And they like Scotty in occasions, especially on third down, as a guy that you know is going to catch the football. So Roman has to earn it. He's going to get a shot. Will he earn more reps when he gets that opportunity? And could we actually see, maybe we could see Roman return kicks. Maybe that would get him going. Like, get him back there, return a kick. Maybe that gets his momentum, his juices like going, that. Yeah. And that could provide something for the young guy.
Jeff, Pitt Panthers, they got a little shot in the arm this past weekend with Mason Heinchel at quarterback, the young 18-year-old, looking pretty good. How do you think the Pitt Panthers fare down in Tallahassee on Saturday, taking on the Florida State Seminoles?
Well, it's not for lack of preparation. We've been hearing the Seminole chant for the last few days that's been bleeding over into the indoor facility, and they're practicing outside. That's how loud it is. Listen, this is a challenge. I mean, we hear about the intangibles with Mason and how he's a leader, how he's not afraid to be in that position even as a freshman. He's going to face some tough situations down there. I mean, I don't like the matchup because of the size on the lines for both for Florida State. I mean, their offensive line is mammoth, and their defensive line is big as well. I mean, let's let the kid sling and see what he has. I mean, Castellanos is going to be a handful. With that group around him, he is going to be a handful, someone they have to account for.
Jeff, we'll circle back. One last Penguins question. Do you think Ben Kindle, can he stay on this roster all year? I know they're going to get Russ back. They're going to get McGroarty back. Was this always just going to be a 9-game tryout or a 9-game flash in the pan, or do you think it's actually a tryout?
I think it's actually a tryout. I think they're willing to watch and see by game 7 or 8. They'll have a good idea of what they have. And if they feel like he could last an NHL season, I do think he has a chance. Now, most likely, he goes back to Canada and plays in juniors, which I hate that rule.
So
I
mean, dumb.
It would help him so much more if he could play in the AHL. But I just like the fact that you're seeing him and Brunick getting an opportunity, like, go do it on the ice. I mean, the Rangers are going to play hard. Islanders, this is going to be a challenge tonight. They're not putting them up in the press box. They're letting them go out there and play. It's things that we've wanted to see maybe for a couple of years that the Penguins are doing this season.
Jeff, I think, okay, last thing for real. I think Sully's going to struggle big time this year. He went from a team with an aging core and a terrible bottom six to a team with an aging core and a terrible bottom six.
Did you notice for the first two intermissions, they came back and Messier looked like he had already given up on Sullivan. Like, he was so ticked off at what he was watching on the ice. It's one game. When Sullivan came here, they struggled a little bit in the first couple of games, and then they took off. They do have some talent there, but I think to your point, I don't know if the Rangers can play the style that he has the most success with.
Yeah.
Which, it's not going to be a forgiving market if they start off really slow.
It sure isn't. And I love Mike Sullivan, but I hate the Rangers, and my hatred always wins out. Thank you, Jeff.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you, Carl.
That was the Hawk Report. The Hawk Report.
Doran gets so mad.
That's why I do it now.
Well, the hawks sound more high pitched, like I can't do it because my voice won't go that high.
Let's go to break.
Like
It's Fan Morning Show.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Pat Bostick was at a bar in Oakland this weekend, and a woman came up to him and said, "Are you a dad? Are you here for visitors weekend?"
What? Yeah. I said I'm a father of two boys. They're not in college, and have a nice day.
You, may I?
No.
No.
You don't look like you're a father of a college kid.
I'm getting there, man. My oldest is going to be 9 Saturday.
You got 9 more years.
That's still halfway there, dude. Mm-hmm. That's scary.
I'm closer, too. I'm closer than that.
Yeah. That's scary. You're about to have, I mean, any day now.
Yeah, any day.
You're going to add to the flock.
Yeah.
The flock.
Going to add to the flock. Yeah.
You're going to have a kid in college for like 16 straight years.
Yes.
Good luck to you.
I mean, but when Jace is in college his freshman year, I won't be 44 years old. That's nothing.
Now, your youngest, Adam Richard Crowley Dickerson, when he is born on my birthday, October 27th. How old will you be when they're in college? I'm doing bad
50?
Math. That's really not bad.
Right?
That's not bad.
No, actually.
No, 55.
Are you going to name your, if you have a boy, will be Adam?
No.
No chance in hell.
No, because
it's got to be a J, right?
Yeah, Jadam.
Could you imagine if like the middle name was Adam? You would be
oh my gosh.
You'd be ridiculous.
Well, you haven't asked me to be the godfather yet, and I'm a little bummed out about that.
You didn't ask me to be the godfather of Fiona.
We haven't assigned him yet.
No.
Even
I'm sitting right here.
Nora doesn't have a godfather.
She'd be real confused, be like, "Why is my godfather black?"
Jeez.
She doesn't think like that.
She will.
Oh man.
For the record, I'm available too.
For the record, I'm available. Hey, all Dad, right. Who's the guy? Is that my godfather on the corner with his van and a trick-or-treat giving out candy?
He was supposed to be there for my first communion. He was at a Green Tree Borough Council meeting.
You got it right. You said borough. That's the first time.
I care.
Here comes the guy in the van. He's making balloon animals on the corner and giving out laced candy.
Oh, speaking of balloon animals.
Oh, boy.
From Halloween last year, I had a balloon guy at this Green Tree Halloween parade. He made me a balloon animal, but it was a ghost, and I wore it as a hat, and then I brought it in, and I never gave him a name. But Crowley and Doran said, "Oh, that's nice."
Yeah.
Was that worth including?
No. What in the world?
Oh, this is so good.
Fan weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, high of 62, low of 42. Congratulations to Tyler Kennedy. They just had a child.
Absolutely.
Did they?
Yep.
Yes.
Hey, boy. It was Boyce. Mm-hmm.
Boyce.
Jadam.
I'm quite confident that's never been a name for anyone in the history of the world.
Jadam? There have been billions of people, man.
You had Al Kasparaitis.
I mean, there's...
Al Kasparaitis.
I think any word that's ever existed, save for maybe like the swear words, the cuss words, have probably been used as a name. Like, there's a cornucopia walking around out there. I guarantee you.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.